This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
1 year to Brexit and still more questions than answers.
What is going to happen with the value of money with leaving the EU? Obviously, we heard that the value of the pound will go down, so everything will become more expensive.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. March 29th next year, Britain divorces the EU, its biggest trading partner. The big question, what will life look like after? The BBC's Matthew Price has been taking questions from young professionals in Northern England.
One of the areas that people are most interested in is what it is going to mean for the value of the money in their pockets. And that takes us to our first question.
I'm Georgia, I'm 20 years old. What is going to happen with the value of money with leaving the EU? We heard that the value of the pound will go down, so everything will become more expensive.
So as you may well be aware, after the referendum that was held a couple of years ago in Britain, the British pound fell by an average of about 20% against other currencies. It's since risen against the dollar, partly reflecting the dollar's weakness globally. Against the euro, it's pretty much the same as it was back in the summer of 2016. But broadly speaking, it's impossible to predict what's going to happen to the value of the pound after Brexit. People are also asking how their lives are going to be affected. One of the things that Britain's membership of the EU allows Brits to do, and EU citizens to do as well coming to Britain, is to move around and look for work. And that was specifically what one trainee solicitor wanted to ask.
Hello, my name's Jennifer Gallagher. I'm 25 years old. Will UK citizens be restricted to a limited period of stay in EU countries post-Brexit?
So in Jennifer's specific case, she's going to qualify as a lawyer in January next year. That is just before Britain leaves. So the answer for her specifically is she can go wherever she likes. Those rights remain for people until the end of what's called the transition period at the end of 2020. But then the rules are going to change. Both sides in this negotiation say they want to keep visa-free travel going after Brexit, but that's a matter for negotiations. Here's our last question.
My name is Tom Courts. I'm 27. I'm asking this question because I've got a friend who works abroad. She does seasonal work in France. She is a nanny and also does a bit of snowboarding teaching. How will Brexit affect her and her work?
If Britain and British people want to restrict the number of people coming, let's say, from Eastern Europe to pick fruit on farms in Britain, then perhaps in France they might well say, well, look, we don't want British snowboard instructors like Tom's friend coming over and taking work off us. So she could well lose out. Right now, though, we really don't know what that final deal will look like. So as in so much of this, we're just going to have to wait and see what that final deal looks like.
Matthew Price there. Let's do the numbers. The market's roller coaster continues today as global markets trade higher. Investors are watching Boeing. Reports say it was hit by WannaCry ransomware. But the company insists there was limited intrusion on a small number of systems. And a win for Saudi Arabia. FTSE Russell will add the nation to its emerging markets index, calling it a large economy with a vision. Fancy a nice cocktail? For me, it's a gin and tonic with a twist of lemon, and I'm not the only one who likes the spirit. The BBC's Victoria Craig looks at what's fueling the ginnaissance.
It's a refreshing sound, but the gin and tonic, a British classic, hasn't always been a trendy sip.
Gin over the past 4 years has just really exploded.
That's Ivan Dixon, a wine and spirits buyer at luxury UK department store chain Harvey Nichols.
Gin had a stigmatisation for being what my grandma would have drunk. Now it's the cool thing for people to be drinking.
Last year, about $750 million worth of British gin was sold around the world, a 12% increase from 2016. And America was the biggest importer. But what's made the old school spirit cool again? To find out, I visited the owner of the Dandelion Cocktail Bar who, while mixing a drink, told me why gin's popularity is not a flash in the pan.
I'm Ryan Chaytha-Wardner. It has that brightness to it. It's got spice, it's got complexity, it's got lots of different layers of flavour that when you have a drink, it's, you know, it's got a journey to it.
In an increasingly crowded market, though, in order to succeed, he says a brand must be able to stand out. At just 1 year old, London's Old Bakery gin has already landed on shelves at high-end department stores, including Harvey Nichols and Harrods.
My name's Ian Puddick. I run a plumbing business. I bought a very, very old bakery to use as my office. We found out the bakers made and sold illegal gin. I got the original recipe, and hey presto, we've built a mini distillery next to our office.
As much as consumers love a good story, they also love a quality craft product. It's why it's not just gin they're willing to spend more on, but craft mixers as well. For example, Fever Tree, a company producing flavored tonic waters and ginger drinks, saw sales growth in the UK of 96%. While gin plays a big role, CEO Tom Warrilow says other drinks are helping fuel the market.
Gin accounts for 5-6% of global spirit sales, whereas dark spirits account for 10 times that. We've launched a smoky ginger ale. We've also developed a spiced orange ginger ale. We're looking at the tequila market. The bourbons, you know, the whiskies, the rums are taking up a lot of our time and attention, on top, of course, of gin.
Though gin's happy hour doesn't look to be coming to an end anytime soon, spirits buyer Ivan Dixon wonders what happens when the spirit's boozy bubble bursts.
Harvey Nichols has seen a 40% increase year on year in gin sales. It's slightly scary if people do stop drinking gin.
Whatever fills your glass, the multi-billion dollar spirits industry is rushing to find the next trend. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
Ooh, thirsty? Me too. Finally, let's round off our very British programme with very British weather. Rain as far as the eye can see. Not surprising that research out today shows more than half of Brits spend more and use more credit in the summer months, even if the hottest day here doesn't top an average of just 66 degrees. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.